With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. An 82-year-old Holland man remains in the Ottawa County Jail after a Tuesday arraignment on unlawful imprisonment and felonious assault charges stemming from a Monday afternoon barricade at a Northside business. Following a video hearing, Holland District Court Judge Juanita Bocanegra ordered Philip Sheridan held on $25,000 bond. He was arrested after about a five-hour standoff inside the property law office off of Lakewood Boulevard and is accused of storming in around 11 a.m. armed with two knives. Sheridan allegedly held attorney Bob Sickle and a female staffer at bay, claiming that people were chasing him and had planned to kill him, and threatened to after Sickle attempted to convince the accused that he was safe. Members of the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department Critical Response Team were able to get the attorney and the staffer out of the office safely. And after about 5 hours, they took Sheridan into custody through non-lethal methods. Some neighboring businesses were cleared as a precaution, and there were no reports of any injury sustained in the incident, which remains under investigation. A preliminary hearing before Judge Bocanegra is pending. Another step in the reshaping of the Lake Macatawa shoreline in Holland could be taken next week. During last night's work-study session, city council members looked at the latest developments in the Waterfront Holland project. Geenan de Kock Properties has proposed building hotels, a cruise ship marina, mixed-use buildings, and public waterfront access at the Verplank Dock site off of West 8th Street, adjacent to Boatworks Restaurant. To do this, a proposed land swap of the site with the publicly owned DeYoung Power Plant site off of Pine Avenue, which would then house the Verplank Dock facilities, would need to become reality. And under the city charter, such a transaction needs voter approval by no less than a 60% margin. Should that approval come, GDK officials say that the project would take about 5 years to complete, with an annual economic impact of $20 million forecasted. Council was briefed on the proposed ballot language for the land transfer, with a vote on approving that set for next Wednesday in order to meet a February 1st deadline for having the matter on the May 2nd election ballot. Two new events will be part of the Tulip Time Festival this spring. Holland's annual signature event announced today that the Bicycle Show Band Crescendo, a group from the Netherlands making its first American tour, will bring instruments, traditional Dutch costumes, and bicycles to Ray and Sue Smith Stadium for three free performances on Friday, May 12th, two on Saturday, May 13th, and one on Sunday, May 14th. The band will also be a part of the Volks Parade on the 13th. In addition, the festival will partner with the Holland Haven Marathon in creating the Double Dutch Challenge running event. Those who register and complete races at both the 2023 Tulip Time Run at Collin Park on Saturday, May 6th, as well as the marathon that begins at Camp Geneva on Sunday, September 10th, will receive a special medal. Those who wish to run both events virtually will also be eligible for this honor. Besides announcing these events, Tulip Time officials also put out its annual call to fill about 800 volunteer vacancies for the 94th Annual Festival, which runs from May 6th through the 14th, as well as accepting submissions for the Quilt Show to be held at Beechwood Church throughout the festival's run. A link for more information on all of these items is in this story at WHTC.com. The 35-year-old Portage mother of eight, who has been missing since December 10th, had been seen dating a man who has a criminal record, including a murder-for-hire plot. Kalamazoo County Sheriff Rick Fuller says they have a person of interest in custody in Newaygo County.
When I say person of interest, when I'm saying that, I mean that we believe that that person has some information that will help us locate our missing person.
Stephen Martin is the father of Heather Kelly's eight children and says she was dating the 37-year-old man when she vanished. And the Federal Bureau of Prisons say that the man had been released from prison in July. He was listed as an escapee from federal custody December 12th after being moved to a halfway house. He is jailed on unrelated charges in Newaygo County after his arrest on December 14th. The investigation into the shooting death of 18-year-old Kane Coronado on November 1st remains open in the Grand Rapids suburb of Wyoming. Police Lieutenant Rory Allen says the area where Coronado was found, shot in the neck, has no security cameras.
It's a very frequented area that people go up for fishing, biking, walking.
Allen says they're looking for a gray or silver Chevrolet Cavalier. Between the model years of 2000 and 2005, it was seen eastbound on Indian Mounds Drive before getting onto westbound I-196. The Felton Mansion in Laketown Township was built almost a century ago on a strong foundation, and now a solid base for its financial future has been set as well.
The Friends of the Felt Estate Endowed Fund was established last fall with the Community Foundation of the Holland Zealand area to provide sustainable operating support to preserve the Felt Mansion so that it may be enjoyed for generations. The Friends group set up a reserve fund of $25,000 for the Community Foundation to invest. They say the contribution came from the significant increase in rentals at the estate. People rent the mansion and grounds for events and weddings, and the Friends can draw on that reserve as needed. I'm Dan Evans.
The Saugatuck Gap Filler Annex now has a place among Michigan landmarks.
Just before the new year, the National Park Service placed the radar station on the National Register of Historic Places. The decommissioned station sits atop Mount Baldhead and began operating in the late 1950s. During the early times of the Cold War, the radar station was the last line of defense to detect any enemy aircraft flying over Lake Michigan, possibly targeting places like Chicago. I'm Dan Evans.
21-year-old Brandon Lee of Maitland, Florida, is facing federal charges for allegedly getting a 13-year-old Clinton County girl to send him sexually explicit material. Lee met the girl on Snapchat and made his first federal court appearance in Grand Rapids yesterday. U.S. Attorney Mark Totten says the man also contacted a significant number of other people across the country and did the same thing to them. Allegan County Sheriff's Detective Lieutenant Mike Brown is well aware of this growing crime.
Sextortion just refers to using photographs of somebody to extort them, compromising photographs of somebody to extort them from either money, sexual favors, or sexual acts or sexual content to get them to do what you want them to do. With COVID and the kids being at home, having a lot more screen time with less parental supervision, we had a huge uptick in the amount of crimes that we were seeing reported regarding sextortion.
The U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI are working to identify other individuals nationwide who Lee may have approached as the matter remains under investigation. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Ann Arbor today to take part in a climate change event, her third visit to the state since she became vice president in 2021. She was last in the state to campaign for Governor Whitmer's re-election last October. From 8:30 a.m. until 5 p.m., Huron Street, East Washington Street, and Fletcher Street in downtown Ann Arbor will be closed for the visit. Governor Gretchen Whitmer will visit Norway and Switzerland next week on a five-day investment mission focusing on attracting job-creating business investments, with her office saying she'll be focusing on Michigan's next generation of automotive manufacturing and clean energy independence ecosystem. This marks the first economic development visit to Europe under Whitmer's administration. Her predecessor, Rick Snyder, makes such trips frequently during his two terms in office. More than 200 public audits of the November 8th election are starting today. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says the audits will be done by the State Bureau of Elections and bipartisan county and local election clerks, saying the process will affirm the state's vote tabulation machines as randomly selected batches of ballots will be hand-counted. A list of jurisdictions carrying out audits will be finalized and published after the jurisdictions that will participate in the statewide audit are identified. A bipartisan group of election officials will meet in Lansing this afternoon to generate a random number through rolling a 10-sided die, similar to one used in role-playing games, that will be used to determine which batches of ballots will be hand-counted in the statewide audit. The Versity Blood Center of Michigan says they're in need of blood donations and have put out an emergency plea, saying they need over 3,500 donors after having less than a day's supply of blood available. Versity typically has a three-day supply of blood, or 1,800 units. They currently have fewer than 200 units. Versity not only stages blood drives at various locations, but they also have permanent Michigan blood centers spread throughout Lower Michigan, including an office off of Wilson Avenue in Granville. Yesterday was the first day on the job for state lawmakers in Lansing. The House and Senate leaders banged the gavel for the first time in a business session in the new two-year legislative session. And while it may have been old hat for those who successfully were re-elected last November 8th, including Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt of Lawton, fellow Republican Senator Roger Victory of Hudsonville, and House Republicans Luke Meerman of Coopersville and Brad Slaw of Zeeland Township, newcomers such as Representative Nancy DeBoer of Holland got to settle into their seats. DeBoer hadn't held public office since being defeated in a mayoral re-election bid by Nathan Box 4 years ago, and the freshman Republican is hopeful that her past experience with the Michigan Municipal League can help get her assimilated into addressing statewide matters.
This is a broader perspective, but what happens to the state does affect each individual unit, and so that's an important thing to remember. I know when we hosted the Michigan Municipal League for the first time in the city of Holland back in 2017, all that was so fun. And people were just amazed at the city and all that it had to offer. And I just had somebody the other day say, yeah, you know, I had never been to this your city until I came to that conference. And it was just amazing. I loved being there and being in the Hayworth building and all that, where we introduced people to the community. So that's been great. And then being on the Board of Trustees gave me another sense of how things work and across the state and within that organization. So I definitely, and I have, you know, over even being out of office, have still continued to care about issues and contacted people at the Michigan Municipal League, because it just gets in your heart, you know. You just want the best for this area and for the state.
Other first-term state lawmakers representing Lakeshore include House Republican Rochelle Smith of Martin and House Democrat Joey Andrews of St. Joseph. Hope College split a pair of basketball games at DeVos Fieldhouse in Holland last night. In the opener, Jada Gardner scored 14 points as the Flying Dutch rolled past the visiting Adrian Bulldogs 91-49. The visiting Calvin Knights held the Flying Dutchman to just 13 first-half points and got 23 points from Uchenna Igziki during an 81-49 victory in the nightcap. Hope's teams are at the Albion for games against the Britons on Saturday afternoon, with coverage beginning at 2:30 p.m. for the women's contest on 99.7 1450 WHTC, and around 5 p.m. for the men's match on the Lakeshore's 92.7 The Van. Both the Grand Valley State's teams are at the Fieldhouse Arena in Allendale tonight as the Lakers entertain the Wayne State Warriors. In state major college basketball this evening, Michigan is at Iowa, Youngstown State is at Detroit, and Robert Morris is at Oakland. The Red Wings welcome the Toronto Maple Leafs to Little Caesars Arena in Detroit tonight. Coverage with Ken Gall and Paul Woods begins at 6:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. The Blackhawks await the arrival of the Columbus Blue Jackets to the United Center in Chicago this evening. Sadiq Bey tallied 31 points as the Pistons routed the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves last night 135-118. Detroit entertains the New Orleans Pelicans at Little Caesars Arena tomorrow evening. Kyle Kuzma capped a 21-point performance by hitting a triple with just over 6 seconds left to lift the Washington Wizards past the visiting Bulls last night 197. Chicago's home to the Oklahoma City Thunder at the United Center tomorrow evening. Michael Milne, Nick Paton, and Sammy Walker each had a goal and an assist as the visiting Iowa Wild skated past the Griffins last night 5-2. The two teams have a rematch at Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids tomorrow evening. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.